Guess I'll use yours. Good morning. Scripture today comes from Galatians chapter 2, starting with verse 11 to the end. That's Galatians 2, starting at verse 11. You know, it's titled "Paul Opposes Peter." When I was reading this, the first part, just what comes to mind is he was calling Peter out. You know, Peter was trying to live among all the people, and he was kind of being two-faced, right? He was trying to blend in. And one thing that stuck out at this beginning part is how God calls us to stand out, not blend in. You know, and it's just a simple story I shared in men's study. I pray at work every morning, and I used to pray with a gentleman that I work with, and we would close the door. He's my assistant manager, and so we'd close the door just because we didn't want to, I don't want to use the word offend, but we just didn't want people to basically be offended, right? That we're praying and we're at work, we're not at church. And finally, a couple weeks, maybe a couple months ago, actually, we started opening the door, saying, no, let people hear, let people know what we're doing, and let's not be ashamed, right? Kind of that standing out, not blending in. And throughout these couple months, people have continually, I mean, just random people, hey, we know you're praying in there. Do you mind praying for us? We have this need or we have that need. And it's just amazing, the smiles on people's face. And then, like, just on Thursday was it, I'm a nurse in surgery, and so I was giving somebody a break, and she just came to me and gave me a big hug and was, like, whispering in my ear, can you do me a favor and pray for me? You know, and the surgery's going on. I'm like, sure, what can we pray for? And then she continued on what we could pray for, and it was personal. And I said, of course, by all means, we will. And it's crazy because, not crazy, it's praise God, because all these weeks go by and we just have all these prayers and some answered, some unanswered. But again, it's all about standing out, not blending in, just as Paul's trying to tell Peter. All right, when Peter came to Antioch, I opposed him to his face because he was clearly in the wrong. Before certain men came from James, he used to eat with the Gentiles. But when they arrived, he began to draw back and separate himself from the Gentiles because he was afraid of those who belonged to the circumcision group. The other Jews joined him in his hypocrisy, so that by their hypocrisy, even Barnabas was led astray. When I saw that they were not acting in line with the truth of the gospel, I said to Peter in front of all of them, "You are a Jew, yet you live like a Gentile and not like a Jew. How is it then that you force Gentiles to follow Jewish customs? We who are Jews by birth and not Gentile sinners know that a man is not justified by observing the law, but by faith in Jesus Christ. So we, too, have put our faith in Christ Jesus, that we may be justified by faith in Christ and not by observing the law, because by observing the law, no one will be justified. If, while we seek to be justified in Christ, it becomes evident that we ourselves are sinners, does that mean that Christ promotes sin? Absolutely not. If I rebuild what I destroyed, I prove that I am a lawbreaker. For through the law, I died to the law so that I might live for God. I have been crucified with Christ and no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not set aside the grace of God, for if righteousness could be gained through the law, Christ died for nothing." This ends the reading.
I'd like to invite kids to come down, if you would, and John. Right there, John. You guys get fun. Yeah, sit right there. Good. Good morning. Do any of you know who this is?
Grandpa.
That's Grandpa. That works. That works. Do any of you know, what does he do in church here? He sings, and he also plays the guitar. Do any of you know his name? Mr. Stenson. Good. I wanted you to know that. Watch this. Over here. Right here. Do any of you know this guy's name? That works. That works. That's correct. You can't. You guys go. This answer's too easy. There we go. Do any of you know this guy's name? It's Mr. Stenson. Can any of you figure out why? This is his daddy, and this is Mark Stenson's son. And we have another son. Yeah, you thought you'd just get escaped from it. One day, and even now, he's probably known as Master Stenson. Those of you who are old enough to understand that language, that's the proper language sometimes used, but he's also a Mr. Stenson. Now, you get to sit back down, you get to go, and you get to stand here. There's something interesting about this guy. He was at our church when he was little like you. And he got confirmed here at this church, and he helped take care of our youth group at the church. And then God just called him to do a very important job, and that job is to go and spend time in places around the world, in places around the United States, and places around the world to share about Jesus Christ. Do you know what they call people who do that? What do they call them? Christians. Yes, that's a better answer than you know. Better answer than you know. Most appropriate. We're going to leave it right there. One of the things that he's doing is he's sharing with people far away in a country called Latvia. And guess what? He takes his wife and their kids with them. So I want you to know exactly what it means when you become a Christian. Sometimes God whispers to you and says, you stay right here, and you tell everybody, like, right here, right? We just heard from one person. He said, at work, we have a prayer group, and people are walking past the door, and they look in and they go, oh, would you pray for us? That's one kind of reaching out. Sometimes you have to walk a little farther or take a plane to get to a place, but it's still the same message. Would you pray for us? And guess what? Even when you're small, what's a question you can ask big people or little people? What can I pray about for you? Yep, you're learning. And it doesn't matter whether it's in your home with your own mom and dad or your own family, or whether it's a neighbor, or whether it's somebody else you know, or even sometimes some of the big people you know, even in church, you can walk up and say, is there anything I can pray for you today? And you feel very good if you want to do that too. Go ahead. It did. Is your dad going to be able to fix it? No. Big holes. Was your dad jumping on it? No. All right. Whoops. Yeah. So much for my children's sermon, huh? Yeah. Well, listen. I want you to remember, because Mr. Stenson, John, is going to be sharing a little bit today. And I want you to listen to what he has to say, okay? And then, for all the big people, I'm going to ask you if you sent your letter or made your phone call. If you've got a little testimony you want to share with us today, I'll walk around with the mic. Unless you want to come up, you're more than welcome to come up, but I at least want to be able to hand you the mic and say, here, your little bit of testimony of what God did and how he may have opened a door with that. Remember, I told you, you got to get out of the boat if you're ever going to walk on water. Well, so much for that lesson, too. All right, you all get candy today, and you get to go home. All right. So can you guys remember that for me? Yep. Good. I will get the candy for you, and I will turn the microphone over to John in just a minute. Here you go. Each of you get to grab. Wait. Brian, you want to do this for me again? You do so well. And give them two. Give them two. But you got to hurry. If you're the last one. No, your dad's got it. Or no, not your dad. Sorry. Wrong dad. Huh. I made always the mistake now. I got so many different odd pieces of candy in there. They sometimes take a while to change your mind. Thank you, Brian. Appreciate it. And Robin, I you don't know me well enough. I was saying something about you, but I thought you were a teacher of elementary kids, and you wouldn't mind me saying so. It's probably one of the names I'll always remember real easy, right? So I'm going to ask John to come up and share with you. I've been asking you to understand that sometimes you have to step out of the normal patterns you're in. What did Brian say? We opened the door. And his testimony for our men's study on Saturday was such an encouragement, because he made it as simple as it was, and you heard his testimony this morning. He just happened to share it. And I go, he opened the door. And what's happened? And that is not the only individual that he could name for you, but because he opened the door, understanding that he and his friend who have been praying had an opportunity, because you did something a little different, you tried something a little different, the opportunity has afforded itself, and ministry has expanded. Opportunity to step into somebody else's life expanded. You understand, if you keep doing the same thing over and over, you miss sometimes what God's been trying to share, teach you, or open your eyes to. That's why, I guess it's been 3 weeks ago now at least, I asked you to, we prayed about it, and I said, think about somebody that needs to be forgiven by you, or someone that just needs to hear from you, or someone you just need to write to and say, I love you and care about you. That's how I got that letter thing going. And I said, do it. And some of you have been faithful to it, and some of you have struggled with it. It struggles, or you struggle to do things differently. It is outside our normal pattern. It is outside my comfort level. This week I went up to Bethlehem, Wales. Had no idea who the pastor is at Bethlehem, Wales. I mean, I looked it up and got his name and stuff, and I go, hi, I'm Pastor Harmon. I'm here just driving around, and I wanted to know if I could stop in and say hello. Now, you guys know me well. This is not what I normally do, okay? And he goes, well, sure. He said, where are you? I said, I'm in your parking lot. He goes, well, I'm work. I said, that's okay. Just say no. I don't mind. No, come on in. We had a wonderful conversation. You understand? If I learned how to get outside what you can call it, your comfort level, the standard behavior, just in small ways, the things that God can open up is real ministry. And so we had this wonderful time of transparent communication, some openness to understanding what God's doing in his life, in his church, in his fellowship, and I was able to share with him too. And I go, that's the challenge. And what John's going to share with you is that's the challenge that he steps up to and encourages people all the time in multiple ways. I'm not sure what he's going to share. I'm not trying to narrow him down here. But I want you to understand, when you, God calls you, you don't have to go to Estonia, Lithuania, Latvia. They were all USSR, right? We did. All right. If that thing is allergic, if you're allergic, was it, did it settle down, the bee or whatever it was? Okay. I'll hope it stays there. Anyway, as you understand that, you begin to realize that the mission field is next door, sitting next to you. What, you think everybody in our church is doing perfectly well with their faith and their walk with God? You think just because they had a good year last year, they're having a good year this year? One of the challenges is that marriages, life, relationships, people, jobs, circumstances, finances, needs, physical, emotional, and spiritual go in all kinds of unpredictable directions, and we have to take the time. I never walked up and talked to you. One of the assignments I gave my confirmation kids was, I want you to talk to somebody you haven't talked to for a long time in church. And they, of course, go, oh, that's so easy. I'll be glad to do that. No, they sound just like me. You have got to be kidding. All right? You understand, I understand the awkwardness, the feelings there. And, you know, my favorite EP words, any of you still remember EP? She was our, came to our church for quite a while with her mom and stuff. And EP, when she, I think she was 7 or 8 years old, we were talking about how hard life can be. And if you had a friend that was really suffering and life was going really tough and doing the children's sermon, and then I said, what would you say to that person? And EP raised her hand and said, get over it. Get over it. And I said, amen. Right? What is God asking me to do? Get over it. Hi, I'm Pastor Harmon. I'm sitting in your parking lot. You got a minute to talk? Yeah, sure. Come on in. Who are you? Right? And I go, that becomes the nature of how God opens doors or has those things open for us. So without further conversation here on my part, John, come up and share whatever the Lord's laying on your heart, and we'll let you run with him.
Okay. Good to be with you. I actually just need to ask a quick question to my son before I share with you a story, or don't, depending on what he says. I'll be right back. Sorry. As I'm hearing things, I just want to be aware of that. Just a minute.
By the way, this is a good idea. Always ask your wife, your friend, your neighbor, your son, your daughter. Testimony, go ahead.
While he's asking his son, I just have to make this point really quick. We were made with, what, one mouth and 2 ears. I'm one that cannot sit someplace and not hear everything that's going on around me. So we were in a restaurant one day, and I'm hearing this conversation going on over here, and it's something church, something about the Lord, and then the church. I'm here, what? I wonder what they're talking about. I'm real curious, right? So I say to John, as he's getting up to go pay for the bill, I'm going to be a few minutes, and I know you're going to want to go sit out in the car and not be near me when I do this. I'm going over to that table, and I'm going to ask him what they got going on. So I did. So I walk up, and I said, I do apologize, but I kind of overheard you talking something about church or something about, the Lord and stuff. And mind if I ask, are you searching for something or whatever? The gentleman was the director over at what's now called Enos or Ecos 360. Yes, no, yeah. It used to be New Tribes up on the hill there. Still is up on the hill there. And so he said he's a director there, and as kids come in every semester to go out to become missionaries, they look for churches for these kids to go to. I said, that is outstanding. We happen to be up just around the corner. We were eating over at someplace just Spring City, sounds close enough. And so said, we're just down the road, and I think I happen to have a bunch of these business cards in my purse. And I said, give us a call. Here's our prayer card for if you need some prayer for something or whatever's going on. And we would like to incorporate all that we can. And if we can do something for them, just let us know. So it was just one of those things where, like I said, I have a tendency to hear everything that goes on around me as others are able to just focus in on what they're doing. And I guess it was just one of those moments where I was so pleased that I could extend who we are to them. And hopefully we'll see some kids or people coming on down. So
thank
God bless
you. Thank you.
How many of you just love doing things like that? Okay. I think that's okay. And it's good. Like actually what Pastor Bruce was saying earlier, just about honesty, right? The honest place is the place where we can move forward from always. And I wanted to ask Leif this question because I actually have kind of two stories I'd like to share. One is from Madison and one is from Latvia, and it won't be very long. But we went out mountain biking last week in Madison, and I felt like something happened to us that was just a little good encouragement for me, and maybe you would find it so also. And we went out with another friend called Brooke, and we were mountain biking. And after about three loops, Leif said, "I'm done. Like, let's go home," you know. And Brooke wanted to keep going, and so I was driving, so I had to decide, like, are we going to leave or stay, you know, because you can't do both. And it was interesting. Leif was really bushed. I mean, he was tired. He was done riding mountain bikes. And it just kind of occurred to me that this simple thing. This would also maybe be for the kids, actually, too. You could think about this. And this is what I said to Leif. I said, "Well, we could leave, but let's stay for buddies. Let's stay because we're buddies." Right? Brooke wanted to keep riding. That's the guy we were riding with. And I said, "How about we stay just because we're buddies?" Right? For that reason, not because we're feeling it. But I felt afterwards like there's a little less than that. So we ended up staying, actually, for buddies. And we just stayed. And then some other cool things happened because of that. But had a little more riding and stuff, and we also had a little more resting, which was needed because we were tired, right, Leafy? Yeah, that's good. But I think sometimes in this whole thing of going and moving out of the comfort zone or taking the step beyond or those kind of things, you don't always feel it. You just feel tired. You feel like, I want to go home. I don't want to keep riding these loops, you know, like this is nuts. Especially the first few times maybe somebody says, get lost, you know, because that can happen. It's not always beautiful. It's not always like, pray for me. Sometimes it's like, go away, you know. So staying on the loops for buddies, you know. So we have somebody. I was thinking about Jesus actually with his disciples saying, "Come on, let's pray together," you know, in a time when he really wanted some buddies. They were having trouble staying awake. I don't know if you remember this time. It's in the Bible. But he was saying, "Come on, pray with me. You know, I need somebody here." And so there's many times we don't feel it, but we do it for buddies, right? So I was just reminded of that when Pastor Bruce was talking. The other thing I can share maybe is just about something from Latvia from our last time there. And it's actually illustrated in this room in that there's a door there that's closed, and there's a door there that's open. And sometimes finding the open door is like a real art, you know? And just noticing that, which door is the door that's open? We had a funny thing happen. We were staying in an apartment in Liepāja, and we don't have a permanent housing there, or there's not a big YWAM facility that we can stay at. So we just rented an apartment right in the town, and we were unfamiliar with that place, but we got, you know, settled. And I think the first day, somebody was knocking on our door, you know, and I opened it up, and here's this guy. And he's saying some things, and I don't know what exactly he's saying. I think he's speaking to me in Russian. Came to find out later he was Ukrainian. But he came and he said, "I need to see toilet." And I was like, "What? What do you mean? You know, you just imagine you just move into some place and some random person comes and says, 'I need to see toilet.' Like, what are you going to, you know?" So I was like, "Okay, whatever." So he comes in and he's looking at our toilet. And I thought, well, this is new. And then he says, "Come." So we go downstairs, and the guy has a workshop under the apartment, you know, in the basement part. And he's a master plaster worker, you know, amazing guy. He does these, like, all this kind of really ornate gargoyle kind of stuff and, like, these really fancy, I don't even know how to describe it, like, all this ornate plaster work. It's a lost art, really. People don't even know how to do that stuff anymore. He's one of 12 people, I think, in the whole country that even knows how to do that. He and his wife do it. Anyways, it came that our toilet was dripping into his workshop. So that was the thing, you know, and it wasn't the way you want to meet people or something, but that was what was happening. You know, we were getting his workshop wet with toilet water, so that wasn't good. So then he said, "I'm going to call a plumber," you know, and he worked with the landlord, our landlord, and said, "We're going to hire a plumber and fix this." And all this time, I had been hoping, you know, as soon as we got there, I'm trying to reconnect with kids that we've been working with over the years. Because, you know, you have these gaps of time, we don't see them, we want to go back and see, how are you doing? What's happening in your life? You know, someone come from hard backgrounds. There was this one kid, Emils, I was trying to connect with, and I couldn't find him. And I came to understand he's actually somebody who's had a hard time, and he's not in a good place. That's why I was having trouble finding him, you know. And I was bummed about that in my heart. And I didn't know how to solve that, because he wasn't connected to any of the other youth we had been working with. They had distanced themselves from him because of some of his involvements, you know. And so there wasn't a way to reach him. And I was bummed about that. I was sad in my heart. But I couldn't think about it too much at the moment because we had this toilet thing happening, you know. And he said, I'll call the plumber and he'll come and fix this and whatever, and we'll split the cost between me and the landlord, is what this neighbor who had said I need to see toilet had arranged. Well, anyways, I thought, I could maybe figure this out, you know, figure out what's wrong with the toilet. I'm not a plumber, but plumbing is not that difficult compared to other things. And so I started looking at the toilet, and sure enough, there was just a bolt. One of the bolts that held the tank was, like, loose. It just was loose, that's all. It just needed to be tightened, and then that would seat the gasket. There was a gasket that had come unseated, and it was dripping down in his workshop. So I just tightened it up, and then I went down, and I said, hey, are you still getting water down there? And he said, no, it's good. It's good. Ah, it's fixed, you know, and he was excited. So he introduced himself. His name was Alexanders, and he's from Ukraine. And then I said, oh, I like your workshop here, you know. We just started talking. And he said, oh, you like? I show you how. And he's showing me everything, how his workshop worked. And he invited his wife, and his wife was speaking to me, and all these Russian things. I don't know what she was saying, but she was very open, you know. And they invited us later. We got to know them very well. They invited us to an open house they had. He took me on some work projects he had to some places that most people don't get to go. And he was just sharing life. He was saying, you know, this is the things. I have some problems with my marriage with this, you know, and just open, you know. And it came through a leaky toilet, you know. And the thing that was really cool, I think, through it all, and the thing that God was really trying to remind me about through it, aside from the interaction itself, was in my heart, I had been bummed for a while about not being able to connect with Emils. I was looking for that door to be open, and it wasn't. I couldn't walk through that door. It would have been easy because of that to actually miss the fact that there was another open door here. And it doesn't replace the interaction with Emils. You can't just plug and play those things. But the fact that he was opening another door was a reality as well. And it just made me, it reminded me to say, I want to keep looking for the open door and not let disappointment over a closed door obscure my vision for the open door. Because God will be opening another door. Right, so I just thought I should share that with you guys. And if you want to pray for Alexanders and his wife Olga, they are the ones who are our neighbors. They're in Latvia. And a very sweet couple who are originally from the Ukraine and starting a new business, which is actually a big deal in Liepāja. To even think that way is a big deal. So you could pray for their business too. It's called something in Latvian that wouldn't make sense, but it's like, it means plaster stuff, kind of. So, anyways. Yeah. Yeah, I'll leave it at that, I guess. Look for the open door. God will open the doors. And I think just to not allow disappointment to obscure our view of the doors that he is opening. That, yeah.
Thank you, John. Yes. Father, how easy it is for us to miss, Lord, the thing right in front of us. Thank you for John's testimony, Lord, that stirs our hearts to understand that even a leaky toilet can lead to a communication and understanding and maybe one day a conversion. We just agree together before your throne that we pray for this couple we don't even know, except through John, Lord, and his wife and family. We ask that your hand of grace and mercy would be very visibly upon them. We pray that they would have tasted and seen the mercy and the grace of your life in the Stenson's lives, Lord. We pray, Lord, that any seed that was planted directly or indirectly would begin to bear fruit. And more than anything, Lord, we ask that they would be drawn into your kingdom. Bless their business. Bless their communication as husband and wife, and open understanding hearts, and give them strength, Lord, in the middle of a culture that may or may not be supportive of them. Give them the courage and the strength to stand together and stand strong. and be with them. And Lord, whatever opportunity you continue to give John and his family to minister to them, Lord, just continue to bear fruit in that place where your seed's been planted. And we pray that we would have an open heart even to leaky toilet situations. Pray in your name. Amen. I am going to ask, do any of you have a testimony you're ready to share today? I'll come around with the mic. And is this one on yet, sweets? I got to turn it on. I think it's working. There we go. This is testimonies related to your letter or your phone call. Some people said, can I make the phone call instead? So here we go.
You want me to stand? Go.
Yeah, we can just stand.
Okay. So you'll have to bear with me. I'm kind of cheating because you said write a letter, and we've been writing back and forth for a couple weeks now. But so my best friend, since we were 4 years old, he moved in across the street when we were four. We've had an interesting relationship growing up. He is from a Muslim family. I'm obviously from a Christian family. But he was really curious as long back as I can remember. I mean, he was always coming over and asking, what's your Bible say? He would ask my mom about the stories she was saying. They pray very differently around meals. They pray very differently when there's not meals. So he was always asking about that stuff. We had a really tumultuous friendship. Cursed each other out quite a few times in our teenage years. Physically fought. All types of stuff. Usually revolving around him wanting to do something. And I would say, I don't agree with that. And if you do that, I'll make sure your dad knows, because you're going to get in a lot of trouble. Like trying to take a car when the parents weren't home because, oh, no one will see, that kind of stuff. And over the course of the last 2 or 3 years, he's been searching. And he couldn't figure out what was going on. Every job he tried, he was really good at, but it never filled him up. And I kept telling him, you know, there's an empty hole, and I'm promising you none of this stuff is ever going to fill it. And so we kept talking and kept talking. And he's currently in the military, actually, training to be a Green Beret for the Army. And he started going to chapel in the Army, and he starts texting me, and he was like, holy cow, man, what the heck have I been missing out on? There's all this stuff that I'm learning about. It's absolutely blowing my mind. And he goes, I'm seeing it every day all of a sudden. I'm realizing all these blessings that I didn't notice before. I wanted to pull up this email because we decided to start a weekly Bible study, and I said, why not start where it's really fun, in the gospel? So we started in Matthew, and these words just kind of blow me away, coming from a kid who my entire life didn't know who God was. So he said, dear brother, I haven't been reading Matthew regularly. I've been in between Acts, John, Matthew, and even a little Revelations. It's amazing how little we truly know about our Father. He shows us a little bit of him every day. I feel like I'm continuously seeing more of God's glory, even with this hurricane. It's so intriguing to think that why this was God's plan. He's got a reason for everything we experience on earth. It's hard to accept, but his plan. But once we do, life becomes so much more gracious and merciful. And then he ends this email by saying, Jesus was the perfect man, absolutely perfect. That means without fault. I think it's safe to say that we can keep Jesus as a profound role model as men. One thing I think we get misconstrued in our society is emotion. We're taught a man is a poor example. We're supposed to be tough and only physical and not care about anything. But this man had exceedingly sorrowful moments, and he was very powerful with his emotion. So he's sitting next to this guy in church, and he said, this man has a disease where his hands are curled, and he couldn't walk or talk very well. We chatted for a while about God, where he's from, his family, and how he found the church. During praise, I was singing, but I could hear him singing over me. Sometimes I get scared to sing in front of other people because of my pride and my own selfishness. But here's Aaron, praising loud and proud, because he doesn't worry about what anybody else thinks. He only worries about his Father, and he isn't ashamed or worried of what others think of him. His focus is on worshiping God and nothing else. As followers of Christ, we have to be willing to destroy our pride and focus on God's glory, on what's really important, bringing others to know Christ so that no one should perish in hell. That is an email from a kid who used to be a Muslim, who then had no faith for 5 years, and now has stronger faith than sometimes I think I do. And I only share that story because I think a lot of times it's really easy for us to get discouraged with you're working on somewhere and you're talking and you feel like you're getting nowhere and nowhere. And all I can say is it took 19 years, but God bless that this kid's stronger than I could have ever hoped for.
I didn't mean to limit you. If you want to come up to the front and talk, you feel free, but I just want you to be comfortable wherever you stand.
So, John, when you were talking about open doors, my neighbor, right before Aaron and Jeanette were married, had ambulances in her house and all the doors were locked. So I had her son's phone number, called him up, got in the house, and was able to pray over her while all these men, paramedics, were trying to help her because she couldn't walk. And consequently, she ended up in the nursing home. So I thought, well, I should probably go to the nursing home and visit her. And I thought, you know, there's this guy who waves. He's in a wheelchair, and he waves to cars, people, as they're driving by. And I had this thought after your letter thing, I should just write him a note and say how nice that is that you wave, you know, when people go by, and I try to tap my horn, you know, in a little acknowledgement. So I go and see Pat, and I have this card for this guy that I don't know his name. I just went to the man who waves because that's all I know him by. And so I visited with Pat, and she's like, oh, let me see you to the elevator. I'm like, okay, I'm capable of walking down the stairs, but I'll take the elevator. And still thinking, how am I going to find this gentleman? Who am I going to give this card to? And I go in the elevator, and the door opens. Guess who's there? He had just been outside the whole time I was visiting with Pat and waving to people, because I was like, oh, my gosh, I can't believe it's you. I have this card for you. And I was like so stunned. I really didn't almost know what to say, but I'm like, I just want to thank you for waving, because that really means a lot that you take time to do that, because he could just sit in his room and do nothing, you know. And in the card, I said thank you, and I wrote a little Bible verse, and I hope I see him again sometime soon. The other thing, almost to my shame, was Carly had wanted to take a friend up to West Bend. And it was for a school project. And it's like, you mean to tell me you have to go all the way to Tosa to get her, and then you have to go to West Bend, and you have blah, 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 blah. And it's going all the reasons why she probably shouldn't do this, because it really wasn't in her best interest. But she said, Mom, I really think I need to do this. And it's like, that was her opening up the door to this girl who they then had conversation. And I don't know what that's all going to lead to, but it's like, darn it, you know, I should not have said no. I should have just said, oh, sure, open up the door. So thank you for that. So that's my two little things. And did you want to say something?
Go right ahead.
So is this okay? Okay, good. So basically, up in Green Bay, I'll go to the women's shelter because I did this project there, and it was just like so frustrating that they all have like really strong church backgrounds, and they all like know so much about God, but they're like getting abused and all this stuff, and so it's really frustrating. So I'll go there, and we'll like sometimes we'll do a Bible study, and sometimes I'll just like clean and talk to them and stuff like that. This one week, there was this mom with like a couple of kids, and her son was just like so upset. I think he's like 8 years old, and he was just like an angry person. And he's like, I don't believe in the Bible, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, okay, well, after we can like talk about it and like the questions you have. But we ran out of time, and I had to go, so we didn't get to. But then the next week, I had like this super long day. And throughout this whole time, I was like praying, and I was like, God, I know that you like want him to know you and all this stuff, so like give me an opportunity. And they're always like in and out of there, so they're never really there that long. And so then, yeah, so it was like a super long day, and I was like, oh, I don't think I should go. I'm gonna go home and study and stuff because I'm always behind and all that stuff. But I ended up going, and he had just had the police called about like his behavior and stuff, and he had to like go to some facility. So I asked him if he wants to like talk about God and like what he believes and like if he was reading the Bible that I had given him, and he said, oh yeah, I did. So we like talk about it, and we talk about like what God did for us and all that. And then I get to the end, and I'm like, well, now what do I do? Like, see you later. And I was like, oh, do you want to like be a Christian and stuff? And he was like, no. And so then I just prayed for him anyway, and he gave me like the biggest hug ever. And I think like the point to that story is that like God answered my prayer to like share with him, and that, you know, like just being there sometimes is better than not and studying and being by yourself. But yeah, that's my story.
Like John said, sometimes you don't want to do it. That's sometimes a pretty good indication that you might be called to do it. So anyone else to share a testimony here? Go ahead. You got to stand up, though.
Okay. Well, when you mentioned writing a letter to somebody, the first person who came to mind was my brother. We're 13 months apart, so it's basically we're almost like twins, and we've done a lot of things together. And I got home from church, and I scribbled out what I wanted to write, put it on my desk, and every time I go to my desk, I saw it, and I never did anything. And the next Sunday, you asked who wrote a letter, and I didn't. So when I got home the second Sunday, the first thing I did was write a letter. I put it in the mail on Monday afternoon, but it was Columbus Day, so it didn't go out. On Saturday morning, my sister-in-law called me, and she said my brother had a stroke. He was in ICU. And I thought, okay, so we went out there, and during the course of conversation, she said, he received your letter yesterday. And she said it meant so much to him. My brother is now out of ICU, but I just thank you for just getting us to write and say thank you for things that we failed to thank the person for all the years.
Amen. It's, you know, these are God-pleasing moments more than anything else, and God is inviting you to be a part of that. I mean, that's part of the challenge you have at you don't have. It's kind of like, how would you like in your repertoire the time I got out of the boat and walked on water? Well, if there were 12 guys in that boat, one got it in his testimony, the rest of them said, I watched while all good things happened to somebody else. And I'm going, the challenge for you is to understand that none of the people that shared with you today are any different in one sense than you are. They have whatever strengths or weaknesses they possess. They have all the characteristics that are in their lives. And yet, in the middle of it, you start to understand this door is opened up. You hear about a Muslim friend who suddenly has his eyes beginning to open and see the grace and mercy of God and the gift of Jesus Christ. You begin to see individuals, and you hear a testimony of the timing of the Lord, where he said, isn't it good that you mailed your letter and got it into the hands of this person, because you cannot assume they'll be here tomorrow. And so the challenge, remember I told you, this is not to guilt you. This is to say, why don't you taste and see how good God is? I have this desire, the Lord says, to bless you. And he blesses you in ways that you can't comprehend. John's testimony of a leaky toilet. How in the world could that turn into a testimony? God says, just watch. Just watch. You know? And you begin to understand that you just watch the miracles of Jesus. They're standing at the church and a widow walks by and drops two little copper coins, and Jesus turns and he turns it into a moment of teaching. And his disciple says, she gave it all. She gave it all. And so you and I, and if you notice, as we take time to hear others' testimony, I'm going to kind of stop a little bit, but I'm going to ask you, if you've got one you really want to share sometime, I'll give you an opportunity. I'm going to preach my sermon on Galatians next Sunday, otherwise we'll be here till 12:30. But I guess there's no football games anyone needs to see today, right? Because they all don't matter, and I can't afford to take all of you out to lunch, but here's the challenge. Let God bless you. Let God bless you. Can you imagine how different it would have been if, in Yvonne's testimony, my brother died before the letter and the words that I had and wanted to give him got there? how different it is to hear with that kind of quiet reverence and quiver, whatever you want to call it, in her voice that says, and he read it on Friday, and he was in intensive care on Saturday. You understand? Those are the things God's looking for. He's looking for faithful people. Not because you're going to earn your way to heaven. Not because you're going to convince God to love you. Not because, you know, you're now more lovable today than you were yesterday because you wrote a letter or gave a testimony or opened a door. It's because God says, just watch what I can do with this. Just watch. And you get encouraged and your walk gets strengthened and your confidence is allowed to grow up. You got to understand, I don't think Peter was quite the same man after walking on the water than he was before, but something takes place each time you step out. Hello, it's Pastor Harmon. What you doing today? Who? And I go, you understand? That's what God wants us to do and be about. And so John in Bible study talked about, he said, learning to do prayer walking. And I did a really nice presentation on that. And since all of you weren't able to be there, I may allude to it for a couple of Sundays for those of you who weren't be a part. But it's just the idea that, you know, as you're walking and you're talking with the Lord, just say, Lord, what do you see? What do you see in this neighborhood? What do you see in the people, the person I'm walking by? What is your grace and mercy doing in this moment? Because God is certainly as much in Pewaukee as he is someplace over in Europe. And there is no one that is outside the reach of God and no one that is exempt from the reconciled blood of Jesus Christ and the heart of a Father who longs to bless them. And you begin to understand no one escapes that. Even your worst enemy, the most difficult person for you to love or forgive, is loved by God. And the redeeming blood of Jesus Christ has been shed for that friend too. And so you begin to ask the question, Lord God, what do you see? What are you doing in this moment? How can I see people through your eyes? Like we sang last Sunday, that song, Through Your Eyes. Just catch the flavor of understanding. And as you begin to see that mercy of God, his walking or walking prayer, did I say it wrong? Prayer walking. Your prayer walking. The idea is that, Lord, just show me. As you walk through your neighborhood, walk down the hallway of your business or company, walk wherever you're going. Just keep this ongoing communication with the Lord. Show me what you want me to see because your mercy and grace is here in this place. Allow me, I use the phrase, to get in the flow of your spirit. What is your spirit doing in these people's lives today? Because even when you're not working, God says, my spirit works. And he says it's like the wind. If you take the time to look up, yesterday was a good day for this, you notice where the wind was coming. And you could see its effect. And you understand that's what God says. Get in the flow of that spirit and let me minister in your heart and through your heart. Pray with me if you would today. Lord God, your gospel is new every morning. Grace is needed by each one of us. I know there are other testimonies that didn't get shared today, Lord. I pray for that opportunity when we will be able to share them. I ask, Lord Jesus, that we would take advantage of the privilege of being called to follow you. And in that moment, walk in the power and the joy and the presence of your Holy Spirit. Lord Jesus, teach us to pray without ceasing. Teach us to pray while we're walking. And as we walk, Lord, teach us to pray, show us this world through your eyes, Jesus. Show us these people through your eyes, Jesus. And teach us how to practice and commit to that kind of walking experience with you every day. Come and bless us. Continue to bring your anointing on each of the testimonies that were shared. Open up continuous doors of opportunity and multiply that gift and that blessing upon people's lives. And just stir others, Lord, to come under your mercy and grace as you want to pour your gifts and fullness of your spirit in everyone's life. Come and bless us to that end. We pray this in your name, Jesus. God's people say, amen.